This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct from the bar at the Sands Hotel, Mr. Dean Martin!
How'd all these people get in my room?
That's my guest Joe Mantegna as Dean Martin in a scene from the new HBO movie The Rat Pack. It debuts on the cable network Saturday night. Ray Liotta plays Frank Sinatra, Don Cheadle as Sammy Davis Jr., Bobby Slayton as Joey Bishop, and Angus McFadden is Peter Lawford. The new film dramatizes how these performers came to be known as the Rat Pack. It shows how they reigned supreme in the Las Vegas of the late 50s and early 60s, and how they got in good with the mob and the Kennedy campaign, and lived out the male fantasy of the swingin' party life, which of course revolved around booze, women, money, and power. Joe Mantegna is best known for his roles in the movies House of Games, Godfather 3, Searching for Bobby Fischer, and Bugsy, and for his Tony Award-winning performance in the David Mamet play Glengarry Glen Ross. Here he is again as Dean Martin. His performance is about to be interrupted by some of his fellow rats.
Maestro, how long have I been out?
You with the stars in your eyes, love never made a fool of you. You look
there they are, folks. Tarzan Jane and the African Queen.
Joe Mantegna, welcome back to Fresh Air. How did you get the part of Dean Martin? Had you ever thought of yourself as the Dino type?
Yeah, I've certainly got a lot of uncles that think of themselves as the Dino type. I've been a great admirer of his ever since I was a little kid. I mean, being an Italian-American myself, he was a big part of my culture growing up. I mean, there was always like Dean Martin records and Frank Sinatra records and Tony Bennett records playing around my house and my relatives' homes, and so he was always part of my life, and the movies, the Jerry Lewis movies with him, and all that stuff. So he, when the project came about, and my agent called me and said there was some interest in them seeing me about portraying Dean Martin, there was a, you know, I definitely piqued my interest.
In portraying Dean Martin, what were some of the most important physical characteristics that you wanted to get across?
Well, thank God I still have plenty of hair, so that helped. So I it was a fairly extensive hair thing. My hair is fairly straight, and so he had those pretty well-known kind of curls and waves. So there was quite a job done on that, and a little tinting to maybe take out some of the gray I've got creeping in, but that and then wonderful makeup people. You know, the Westmores are very famous makeup people here in Hollywood. And so we had a father-daughter team of Candace and Marvin Westmore, you know, working on just subtle things, you know, just even the shape of eyebrows and stuff like that. And amazingly so, I mean, when it was all done, they took some stills and some black and white photos, and I actually, even one of the black and white photos, I know I had was able to show to some of the Martin family, some of the children. And, you know, one comment by the daughter was that, you know, she really, for a second, when she first saw the shot, thought it was a photo of her dad. And that was, you know, at least it made me feel good about that. I felt that I was at least in the ballpark.
Dean Martin had a kind of almost lazy way of speaking. What did you do to get his voice?
Well, there is a certain aspect about where you just kind of relax a little bit, and there's somewhere a cross between Bing Crosby and the Sugar Bear, you know. So you kind of get caught between doing a Sugar Crisp commercial and and doing a little bit of, because he was a great admirer, actually, of Bing Crosby, and I think there were occasions where he even admitted that he somewhat emulated his singing style, which was a very relaxed kind of thing. So, I mean, Dean was from Steubenville, Ohio. I don't know how much of an accent that causes in one's speech patterns or whatever, but his singing pretty much was an extension of his kind of speaking voice. So, I mean, whatever that kind of, you know, so he can very easily go from something like this into, you know, well, you know, what is about it? You know, I mean, so without you know, I don't pretend to be the singer he was, but whatever. It's just trying to get a little semblance of that kind of lilt and that kind of, you know, relaxed kind of sound he had.
Did you do your own singing for the movie?
I did. As to how much was actually used, I don't know. There wasn't actually that much singing that I had to do because it's pretty spotty within the context, because it's really not a, I think people, a lot of people will be surprised that it's not really a musical piece, that it's very much a dramatic piece about a couple of years in the lives of these guys, and a lot of the political and social kind of things that they were involved in at the time. But some of the singing I did do, and I would imagine they may have used a bit of it. Mm-hmm.
My guess is that they used your singing for Hey There.
Yeah, I think from what I've heard, at least in the final cut, that they did. Yeah, so that pretty, I believe that was me singing that, you know, Hey There, you with the stars in your eyes. So something along that line, yeah.
When you were doing research to play Dean Martin, did anything surprise you? Did anything contradict the image that you had of him?
Well, as you inferred, he did have that kind of lackadaisical, kind of easygoing image about him, and it seemed, in fact, that there was a lot to that. I mean, he was a guy that pretty much walked his own way. I initially made an analogy about them as I did my research, and also as I prepared to do the role, I thought to myself, well, what kind of analogy can I make so I can fit where Dean fits in with this group, the Rat Pack? And what I came up with is that if instead of thinking of them as a rat pack, if we think of them more as, like, let's say they were a pack of dogs, then Frank would be the lead dog, of course, and Dean would probably be the cat that ran with the dogs. And in terms of a surprise, I guess part of it, one thing I was somewhat surprised, not really surprised, but it was found interesting, was just how successful he was comparatively, in the sense that I think Sinatra, being the huge giant that he was, you know, everybody assumed that, well, he left a huge empire and all that. But I think what a lot of people maybe wouldn't know is that Dean was such very astute in terms of his business. And at least according to one source I read, when all was said and done, he was like the largest single stockholder of RCA Victor stock in the world. And a lot of it was due to the fact of his success in television, which even Frank Sinatra couldn't match, in the sense that Frank really never had a popular television show, while Dean had a very popular television show for a good amount of time. And the kind of remuneration he made during that time, based on stocks and stuff, really, you know, helped him create quite a little empire there. So it wasn't just a guy that everybody had this image of, a guy, you know, smoking a cigarette and drinking, which a lot of that was not even true. I mean, he very often had apple juice in a glass, which I think is even somewhat indicated in the show, that when people see the show, they'll see certain things about these guys that probably they didn't know about.
The guys in the Rat Pack were not only showbiz leaders, they were very offensive in their own way, sexist and homophobic, making all kinds of ethnic jokes. And in fact, there's a really good scene in the film that shows this kind of humor. Let's hear an excerpt of this scene, and we'll hear Ray Liotta as Sinatra, my guest Joe Mantegna as Dean Martin, Don Cheadle as Sammy Davis, and Bobby Slayton as Joey Bishop.
Help you out here a little. How about some lunch?
Frank, do you know how to make a fruit cordial?
No, Dean. How do you make a fruit cordial?
You be nice to him.
Do you believe in fairy godmothers?
No, but I have an uncle that I'm keeping an eye on.
Look at these two, ladies and gentlemen, the Italian bookends. Pretty soon they'll be telling you what wonderful work the mafia's been doing.
Hey. Have you ever seen a jiu-jitsu?
Hey. Now be fair, that's all I ask. How'd you like it if I said, have you ever seen a wopsicle?
Hey.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, Frank, it's the boss.
I'm not really part of the show, folks. I just couldn't get a reservation. Two Italians against one Jew, Sammy. Come over here, I need your help. Get another Jew up here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sammy Davis Jr.
And hurry up here, Sam. Your watermelon's getting warm.
It's better than eating pizza every night.
Yeah, well, at least we don't have to spit out the crust.
Joe Mantegna, how did this kind of humor strike you in its time in the 60s? Did you think it was cool? Did it offend you?
It absolutely was cool, and it absolutely did not offend me, because words like sexist and homophobic and things like that didn't really exist in the 60s. But I think that's okay. And I mean, I think that in a way that's part of the reason why there seems to be almost a resurgence and a interest in that time and in a movie like this and about these kinds of guys. Not because we're condoning it and saying, oh, that's what we should be doing now. But I think it's almost like a nostalgic look at a time past when, you know, it was okay to call girls broads, and it was okay to smoke cigarettes, and it was okay to drink martinis and to make those kinds of jokes because we didn't know any better. So, I mean, I think we can almost look back on it fondly and realize that there was a certain kind of innocence involved with it.
My guest is Joe Mantegna. He plays Dean Martin in the new HBO film The Rat Pack. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Joe Mantegna. He plays Dean Martin in the new HBO film The Rat Pack. Did you get to talk to Dean Martin's friends or family?
Yeah, I did get to talk to people who knew him and worked with him, and I did get to talk to some of his family members.
What are some of the things that they told you that you wanted to hold on to?
I was interested in things that maybe they would know that no one else could possibly know, like, did he like to wear jewelry? If he did, what kind of jewelry did he wear? Did he have any little quirks, little things that maybe you remember about him that would just be, you know, insignificant to somebody else, but something that you were always aware of. And so when you get this kind of information and then you team it along with more documented kind of or obvious information, it helps you as an actor anyway round out the character so that not only on the larger scale, hopefully you have a look that perhaps looks a little like the character, a sound that sounds a little like the character, and you're doing, you know, actions that are somewhat as people remember them. But then on the other hand, you're doing little things that maybe only you know, that you're wearing a certain kind of watch or a certain kind of ring, or you're wearing your hair a certain way, or using little comments that only somebody who was really in the inner circle would know, that they would maybe use those little pet names or comments. So that just helps you feel more comfortable in stepping into those shoes, because it's always harder to play a person who really existed in life as an actor than it is to just create a character that basically the viewing public has to accept, well, this is the character, because there's nobody to, you know, this person has created it. It's a fictitious character.
But what are some of the comments or pet names or quirks that you were able to pick up on from talking with friends and family?
Well, I mean, little things. I mean, I remember watching some old footage of him, you know, doing these Rat Pack routines. And I remember just in one little instance, there was one little joke where all of a sudden Frank Sinatra said something and Dean came back and called him, says something like, oh, yeah, well, Dickie Bird. And he called him Dickie Bird. I don't know what the hell Dickie Bird, the reference is, or where it came from, or what it could possibly mean. But I found it amusing, and so I worked it into the script so that there was an instance where I just used that as a kind of a form of endearment that he used for Sinatra. Now, maybe that was the only time he ever said it to him, was in this one little bit on this one little telecast. But it was something that I felt, okay, this was like a personal thing. And so at least I know in my mind that this is something that really happened, and it's just one more further connection.
Was there jewelry you were wearing because you knew he wore something just like it?
There was a lot of jewelry I wasn't wearing because he didn't wear very much. It was one of the things I found out. So, you know, like they said sometimes he wore one little, you know, necklace with little, like a religious medal on it. So I often wore it, but you never see it in the movie. But I knew I was wearing it. He wore one kind of a watch very often, which was kind of had like a kind of a gold braided band. I couldn't find exactly that same kind of watch, but it was like, but what was more important was just that he basically just wore the watch, and that was pretty much his only jewelry. Though I think there was a scene or two that maybe I have a little ring on here and there, but it's more like a costume for costume effect that, you know, and I guess that's like a theatrical license thing that maybe he would have worn a ring.
After going through Dean Martin's records and TV shows, and I imagine his movies as well, is there a quintessential Dean Martin image or Dean Martin moment that stands out in your mind?
Well, no, I wouldn't say so. And I think that's part of the enigma of who he was. I mean, there was a quote in there's a wonderful biography on him called Dino. And
Nick Tosh's book.
And I obviously read that a few times to just glean a lot of different information that was helpful. And there was a quote in there by his wife of 23 years, I believe, the wife he was with the most, the longest, and had three children with. And she said, her quote, I'm paraphrasing it a bit, but her quote was something like, "I met Dean Martin. It was love at first sight. I knew nothing about him. We were married for 23 years. We got divorced. And I still don't know anything about him." And I thought just that quote said a lot. And so that there was a certain kind of enigma that he had. And I mean, I think it's even somewhat inherent in the script and in the movie that we made. And that was one little aspect of his life that, you know, that there's a certain kind of an air of kind of mystery, detachment, a kind of like, you know, I don't think he really wanted a lot of his personal life or a lot of information of really who he was out there. I mean, this is a guy that very often liked to eat alone, would go out alone. Again, it was that analogy I'd made of him. He was very much a cat living in a world of dogs.
There's a scene in the movie where it's like the collage sex scene. Everybody's, I think, at Frank's house, and there's a camera shot in each bedroom, and each of the characters in the movie
in a hotel, right?
Yeah, there's a hotel, yeah, and they're all, every character in the movie is in their room having sex, except for Dean Martin. He's in his room laying on the bed with a glass of milk in front of the television.
Yeah, well, and this, as I said, and I've got this documented from, you know, people very close who were obviously very close to Dean, who had said that was absolutely in character. That was absolutely something he would have done or had done. And that might be something that to a lot of people at large would be surprised by, that that went against the image of that, you know, devil may care, ladies man kind of guy, the lady killer that was, you know, just out there and, you know, in that world of babes and booze and, you know, but I think it just showed that there was this other side that was no, to the public at large, there was no need for them to know that, and it was just fine.
Was the movie fun to make?
Yeah, the movie was as much fun to make as I think it will be to watch. I mean, I remember clearly on the last day of shooting, we finished something like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and then we all looked at each other, and there was kind of a collective kind of a sigh of like, oh, this is going to be a tough one to lay down, because we were having so much fun together. Because we developed a certain kind of camaraderie, just working every day together and playing these guys. You couldn't help it, because there was a lot of fun involved in what they did. And that I got from every source I talked to, that this was no pretend. These guys were having as much fun as it looked like they were having. So how could you not have it, you know, duplicating it, you know, as we did? And we all got along. And I think we all started to feel very protective about the characters we were playing. We got very, in a way, defensive about who we were and what we were playing, and we enjoyed it. And it would have been the type of thing that if we all had the talent, we would have loved to have taken it on the road and done Vegas for, you know, 6 months, or, you know, gone to Reno and Vegas and Tahoe.
Rat Pack Mania.
Yeah, taking the show on the road. But, I mean, but we knew, you know, we knew enough to say, okay, I mean, we can fool them for 2 hours to play these guys, but none of us were... Our entertainment based to the degree of talent these guys had, but it was a real privilege to play them, and I can safely speak for us all that we really enjoyed doing it.
Joe Mantegna, thank you so much for talking with us.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Joe Mantegna plays Dean Martin in the new movie The Rat Pack. It premieres on HBO Saturday night. Here's the real Dino.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be king, you may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The world still is the same, you never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love. Same, you never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, well, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
We'll have more on the Rat Pack in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.